I think that apologetics today is more important than perhaps ever before. Our faith is under attack. You have men like Richard Dawkins, probably the best known atheist on the planet, who has just written a book titled The God Delusion. And in his view, it is absolutely safe to say, these are his words, that if you meet someone who claims not to believe in evolution, that person is ignorant, stupid, or insane. He even goes so far as to suggest that that person is wicked. And after thinking about this some time, in fact being called on the carpet for his insensitive remarks, Richard Dawkins came back and said, "I will not withdraw a word of that statement, but I will add something to it because I think the statement was incomplete. There's perhaps another category which may belong under the title insane, but which can be more sympathetically characterized by a word like tormented, bullied, or brainwashed." In other words, it is his reasoned opinion that those who call themselves Christians are those who do not exercise reason. And so he makes the Enlightenment's false dichotomy between faith and reason. And he proudly marches under the banner or moniker of Darwinian evolution. "I am," he says, "a Darwinian evolutionist." And he's very proud of that. He believes in survival of the fittest in the struggle for existence. Indeed, he believes that for evolution to succeed, it is as crucial that the unfit die as that the fittest survive. Because if the unfit survived indefinitely, they would infect the fit with their less fit genes. And then the more fit genes would be diluted, and evolution couldn't take place. Now, I think it is absolutely astonishing that someone like Dawkins would want to take on the moniker Darwinian evolution. It's one thing to call yourself an evolutionist. It's another thing to associate yourself with Darwin, who was a sexist and a racist. Who can forget what Darwin wrote under the subhead, "Difference in the Mental Powers of the Two Sexes"? Darwin attempted to persuade his followers that the chief distinction in the intellectual powers of the two sexes is shown by man's attaining to a higher eminence in whatever he takes up than can woman, whether requiring deep thought, reason, imagination, or merely the use of the senses. He said, "We may infer that the average of mental power in man must be above that of a woman." Imagine that. How enlightened is that, Richard Dawkins? Or who can recall what he wrote with respect to what he called the Negro? He said that the more civilized so-called Caucasian races have beaten the Turkish hollow in the struggle for existence. Looking to the world at no very distant date, an endless number of lower races will have been eliminated by higher civilized races throughout the world. And his bulldog, Thomas Huxley, who was very responsible for popularizing his views, said, "No rational man cognizant of the facts believes that the average Negro," his words, not mine, "is the equal, still less the superior, of the white man. It is simply incredible to think that he will be able to compete successfully with his bigger-brained and smaller-jawed rival in a contest which is to be carried on by thoughts and not by bites." Now, he thinks it's fine to call yourself a Darwinian evolutionist, but if you call your child a Christian child, then you're involved in child abuse. Imagine that. A child can't say they're a Christian child anymore, because if you say my child is a Christian child, or the Christian child is now as benighted to think that they are a Christian child, somehow or other, there's some child abuse that's involved in the process. Well, how enlightened is that? Here's a man who wants to suppose that we can only appeal to philosophical naturalism for the existence of the universe in which we live. And my child, for example, my 10-year-old daughter Faith, she can't appeal to supernaturalism. Now, I think it would be truly enlightened if we would open our minds and say there are naturalistic explanations for the universe in which we live, and there are supernatural explanations for the universe in which we live. And when you do that, you're practicing open-minded science. Well, Richard Dawkins has really gone on the warpath, again, not only with his book in which he makes religion the root of all evil, and postulates that only a thinking person would absolutely abstain from religion, and a non-thinking person would embrace religion, and truly thinking people are evolutionists. And he has gone as far as to say that there's no well-demonstrated reason to believe in God. He defines faith as a process of non-thinking. Here he is actually saying that.
In this program, I want to examine that dangerous thing that's common to Judaism and Christianity as well. The process of non-thinking called faith. I'm a scientist, and I believe there is a profound contradiction between science and religious belief. There is no well-demonstrated reason to believe in God. And I think the idea of a divine creator belittles the elegant reality of the universe. The 21st century should be an age of reason, yet irrational, militant faith is back on the march.
I mean, this is just so benighted, it is hard to know where to begin. I suppose it's instructive for me to note that some of the greatest scientists the world has ever known were defenders of a creation view of origins. Robert Boyle, for example, the father of modern chemistry, as well as the greatest physical scientist of his day, was an outstanding apologist for the Genesis account of origins. Isaac Newton, a prodigious intellect who developed calculus, discovered the law of gravity, and designed the first reflecting telescope, strongly defended the biblical account of creation. Louis Pasteur, well known for the process of pasteurization, and for utterly demolishing the concept of spontaneous generation, was devoutly religious and strongly opposed Darwinian evolution. These were scientists. And a lot of other great intellects were also creationists, like Johann Kepler, the scientific astronomy man, or Francis Bacon, scientific method, or Blaise Pascal, a brilliant mathematician and philosopher, and the list goes on and on. We should not make this false dichotomy between faith and reason, and we certainly should not embrace the God, quote-unquote, of Dawkins, which is no God at all. In fact, he wants to say that Darwin really had the brilliant idea with respect to the origins of the universe. Here's a clip in which he says that early on, humanity had to imagine a designer God, and that Darwin's idea elegantly explains all of life on Earth without the supernatural.
So what does the overwhelming evidence of all these fossils tell skeptical science? How did we and every creature get here in all our improbable diversity? In past centuries, humanity had no choice but to resort to a supernatural hypothesis. Among the many creation myths around the world, the Book of Genesis imagined a designer God who fashioned the world and life in just 6 days. Finally, in the 19th century, science pieced together what had really happened. Charles Darwin hit upon a truly brilliant idea that elegantly explains all of life on Earth without any need to invoke the supernatural or the divine.
You know, what's really interesting, you bring up Darwin, but Darwin said if it could be demonstrated that any complex organ existed that could not possibly have been formed by numerous successive slight modifications, his theory would absolutely break down. Well, in an age of scientific enlightenment, Darwin's theory has, in fact, absolutely broken down. Look at the eye, which even gave Darwin cold shudders. Without the coordinated development of the eye and the brain in synergistic fashion, the isolated developments themselves would not only be meaningless, they'd be counterproductive. And if you look at irreducible complexity, you see that Darwin has absolutely been defeated. Now, that's following the truth wherever it leads. It's looking at science. At least Strobel wrote about this in A Case for the Creator. Not only that, but the same point is made in the DVD by the same title, The Case for Our Creator. The Privileged Planet makes the point eloquently, and all those products are available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Right now, I want to once again point out just how important it is for all of us to be ready to give a reason. This is not blind faith. It's faith in reason. It's faith in evidence. Our faith is historic and evidential. It's never blind faith. It's faith in evidence. But not only that, we need to counter people like Richard Dawkins, who suppose that religion is the root of evil. This is a common refrain sung in the 21st century. Religion is the root cause of all the great atrocities of human history, they say. Well, in reality, more people died as a result of secularist ideologies in the last century alone than have died in all the religiously motivated conflicts of Western history. The Nazi philosophy that Jews were subhuman and Aryans were supermen led to the extermination of 6 million Jews. Look at what Sir Arthur Keith, a militant anti-Christian physical anthropologist, said. The German Fuhrer, as I have consistently maintained, is an evolutionist. He has consciously sought to make the practice of Germany conform to the theory of evolution. So far from religiously motivated, Hitler's final solution to the Jewish problem was grounded in the naturalistic philosophy of survival of the fittest. Yet more evil has been done under the banner of atheistic philosophical naturalism than under religion.